And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'll talk about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And apparently we have people from out of state, too. That's I love that. So, yeah, by the way, if you're getting outside of what I call our overly broad range of AM/FM capabilities here at Right Side Radio, just know this. I mean, we literally do go from about Clanton to Tennessee line, and then we kind of lap over into our neighboring states, and that's cool. But you can always go to rightsideradio.org, go to the live stream. You can either watch or listen live through your smartphone, any device, your computer, whatever the case may be. That's why we got folks that, you know, we have folks that listen all the time from down in Mobile. We have people in Montgomery. We got folks, guy used to call him from Wetumpka. We have folks in Michigan, I know, that listen to the show. We got Jerome from Rome. We got Jeff from Indiana, who catches us while he's driving all over the place. And then, you know, this the bottom. And we got our new guy, John, from South Carolina. So got to love that. The text lines are open, 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. You want to text in, tell us what you're thinking along the way, and we will go from there. But yeah, I got to tell you about this new word. This new word that my friend Irene gave me. I had never heard of this. It is so descriptive. It is so applicable. It is so apropos. It is so on point. It is kakistocracy. Kakistocracy. K-A-K-I S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y, kakistocracy. It's even hard to say, but the definition, here's the definition of kakistocracy. A government by the least suitable or least competent citizens of a state. A state or society governed by its least suitable or competent citizens. Boomers is over here, like his shoulders are shaking while he's laughing.
I'm just cackling over here.
You're just cackling? Got a little boomer cackle going on.
Boomer cackle.
Got a little boomer cackle. Kakistocracy, a government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. A state or society governed by its least suitable or competent citizens. Does that unfortunately feel familiar? Because it feels like it to me sometimes. And it goes straight to this whole first section I've got today. The whole first section is called, You Can't Make This Stuff Up. So, I mean, first of all, I know you've heard because it got a lot of headlines. So I'm going to rehash a piece that you may have already been fully aware of. Just this past Friday, Vice President Kamala Harris goes on in a national interview and basically says, not basically, she literally says, hurricane relief, it should be divided up into communities in terms of equity. And she cited communities of color and underprivileged communities as being the first who need to get relief. It doesn't really work that way, Vice President Harris. It just doesn't. What you do is you go where the needs are. And the needs are not demographic. The needs are not, they're more geographic than anything. And they're not designed to just benefit one segment of society because you want to pander to them. It doesn't work that way. You can't make this stuff up, though. A Vice President of the United States. I tell you what, let's play the clip. Remember you got that clip? Clip three, right? Go ahead and play it.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities and do that work.
The second worst part of the whole thing is she got applause. but we're literally listening to the Vice President of the entire United States in the wake of the hurricane, discussing hurricane relief, by the way, whose commentary is that, well, what you do is we have to give resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity. And in the article I've got here from Fox, it says that literally the DeSantis administration took serious issue with this, saying that she actually caused panic among some Floridians, thinking that they had to meet some standard of, you know, their race or their income before they were going to be given any help. No, and they reassured them, that is false. That will not be happening. In fact, I've got a follow-up article from the Epoch Times, dated this past Saturday. FEMA chief responds to Kamala Harris' claim about prioritizing communities of color. You know it's bad when the vice president of the United States says something and a FEMA chief has to come out and respond and counter the argument, because we didn't get anything from Karine Jean-Pierre. No, no. We didn't get anything walking it back from the vice president's office. We didn't get anything from President Biden. Because, well, no, that's not going to happen. No, none of that. It was FEMA. FEMA said they will be supporting all communities. About a day after the hurricane, Hurricane Ian ravaged Florida, Harris made the remarks of those communities that are most impacted by these extreme conditions, and that we are thinking about the families in Florida and Puerto Rico, and we need an immediate response aid. She went on to say that we have to have, of course, equity in the division of relief. FEMA Director Deanne Criswell was asked about the vice president's comments during a CBS News interview. Her response, we're going to support all communities. I committed that to the governor. I commit that to you right now, that all Floridians are going to be able to get the help that is available to them through our programs. And currently, like 850,000 homes and businesses are still without electricity, much less the destruction that was wreaked upon. You can't make this stuff up, man. If that's not cacistocracy in action, I don't know what is. But then, you know, before I leave the Biden-Harris administration, I do have to point out, and I don't often point out gaffes, except that when it's things that are done intentionally, just like that last comment by the vice president, it was done intentionally. It was not a slip up. It was a prepared statement. It was a slow roll interview. It was a friendly crowd. She was pandering, and she did it on purpose. But then President Biden is known for this. Story from the New York Post, dated 2 days ago. Biden claims, I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community in Delaware. What? He was not. He wasn't. But he keeps doing this. President Biden told an audience in Puerto Rico Monday that I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically. What does that mean? I was raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically. What does that even mean? Despite the fact that only about 2,000 people in the entire state of Delaware were of Puerto Rican descent when he was starting his career 5 decades ago. It points out that Biden has a habit of inflating his personal connections to audiences and made the claim while pledging Hurricane Fiona recovery aid during a trip to Ponce on the island's southern coast. He went on to say, we have a very, in relative terms, a large Puerto Rican population in Delaware. No, you didn't back then, sir. Roughly 10% of the state is of Hispanic descent now, and a segment of those are Puerto Rican descent, but not when he was growing up. There were maybe a couple thousand, according to the census records, y'all. But listen, last September, he told Jewish leaders he remembered spending time at and going to the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018 after the worst anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history, in which 11 people were murdered. The synagogue says he's never been there before. In January of this year, Biden told students at historically black colleges in Atlanta that he was arrested multiple times while protesting in favor of civil rights, for which there is no evidence. He also said at the Naval Academy graduation ceremony in May that he was actually appointed to the military school in 1965 by Senator Caleb Boggs, but a search of Boggs' archives failed to turn up any evidence that there was ever an appointment in his name. It goes on and on. You can't make this stuff up. And by the way, those are intentional comments. That was not an off-the-cuff mistake. I called the wrong name. I didn't mean to say it that way. I should have said it this way. No, those were actual intentional. You can't make this stuff up. I've got the microphone. Let me find something to say. Oh, I'll say this. And you hear it, and you think, we are in a cacistocracy. We are in a cacistocracy right now. How about Gretchen Whitmer? Speaking of things you can't make up, FreeBeacon.com reports as of 2 days ago, Gretchen Whitmer's solution for broken child welfare system in the state of Michigan is to hire a sexual orientation and gender identity consulting firm. Can you hear the deep breath? Months after a federal judge described the state of Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer's child foster care system as devastating, The Democrat administration is now turning to an atypical antidote, a sexual orientation and gender identity consultant. I kid you not. Whitmer's Child Services Agency on September 12th issued a contract proposal for a sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression, that's the acronym is SOGI, consultant, to assist the agency's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Unit, according to documents obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. Included in the proposal are directives to distribute surveys on the needs and concerns of LGBTQIA+ children, develop training on topics such as implicit bias, and identify community services for Native American Two-Spirit youth. It comes as the Democrat Children's Services Agency faces scrutiny from a federal judge over a devastating January report that detailed the foster system's great shortcomings. The issues laid out in the report, however, have little to do with SOGI issues. Little, like none. Like in January's report, Michigan only met the required standards in 8 of 32 areas. And yet the first thing they're going to do to try and rectify this devastating inability to take care of foster kids is they're going to hire a SOGI consultant and do surveys on how to take care of two-spirit youth, whatever that is. I got a ton of these. Like, this is what happens, Boomer, when I can't get to it on a certain day, and the next day I plan to use it, so I find more stuff. And I've got a stack now.
And then the next day.
And then the next day. And then now we're on the third day. Thank you.
It just keeps piling.
Thank you for reminding me.
I mean, it's the world we live in. It just keeps popping up.
You can't make this stuff up. Take us to a break, brother. We'll do a break right now. I'll come back. I got no rush. I got a stack of stuff. We got time. You can't make this stuff up. We are living, my friends, in a cacistocracy. Oh, wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Got a slew of texts that came in on some of this can't make that stuff up kind of stuff. You want to text in? The number is 833-687-4448. Here's another one. Now, this may surprise you. Boomer, would you be at all surprised to find out that jaywalking is actually racist? Let me take it back. Ticketing jaywalking is racist. Trying to enforce jaywalking laws. Yes.
It's
racist.
That's racist.
It's oppressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
It's okay. So here's the story. Red State. Redstate.com. Dateline, October 2nd. What's that? 3 days ago. Gavin Newsom. Oh, it's always good when my boy Gavin signing something, but Gavin Newsom signed a new law decriminalizing jaywalking across the state of California, as if they've got nothing else more to worry about. It says, in Newsom's pandering mind, the familiar practice of police handing out tickets to pedestrians is enforced more often against minorities than other people. Hence, ticketing jaywalking is racist. As reported by Breitbart, California's new AB 2147, which is the law, known as the Freedom to Walk Act, And, oh, and by the way, the article even then goes on to say, you can't make this stuff up, which is perfect. Anyway, takes into consideration the cultural differences between Californians who are deferential to laws governing pedestrian traffic and tend to obey don't walk signals and urban dwellers who are notoriously defiant when it comes to crossing traffic signals. Whatever. All I know is this. Giving somebody a ticket for breaking the law when they break the law has nothing to do with their race if they are truly breaking the law. Now, if you pull somebody over and they weren't doing anything, I get it. You can racially profile people. That happens, and it's not right. But when you see somebody breaking the law, and it's as simple as you're jaywalking, sir, you just stepped in front of three moving cars, you could have caused an accident, there was a traffic signal right up there that would have allowed you to cross if you had just moved up the street, I've got a $20 ticket for you, sir. Racist! That is not racist. You can't make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. And the article even says right in the middle of it, Boomer, it says right there, it says you can't make this stuff up.
You can't make this stuff up.
I circled it. It's you can't. That was I didn't even know that was there until I was getting my notes ready a few minutes ago.
It's a cacostracacy.
It's a word salad.
It's a word salad.
we got a caller on the line.
Yes, sir.
Who's that? Dan from Madison. Dan, how you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm speed down now. I got you, boy.
Oh, come on. Come on. Come on.
I got you. Okay, here we go. Now, you know, like a baker's dozen, you know what that is? Well, wait, you get an extra one because you're either he feels sorry for you or you look good, one of the two. Yeah. But I'll say this. My friend, Kareem, I'm telling you, this is racist, Kareem, and it's also not smart. If you just listen to one side of political news, now, I actually listen to both sides. Because I want to make a foreign decision. Now, everything on the right is correct, sir. Just understand this. Politicians, majority of them are out for one thing, as far as I'm concerned, and maybe I kind of stereotype this, but they're out for the almighty dollar. When they don't become politicians anymore, when they get voted out, then they're lobbyists. So it's a money grab up there. Now, with that said, that to me is not only, I think, racist, but actually not too informed. When you just listen to one side of the story, make an educated decision, look at both sides, evaluate, and then figure it out.
Okay. All right. Dan, thanks, man. Appreciate you as always. Have a good one.
See you, brother.
See you. Okay. he was coming after Kareem. Kareem hadn't even been on. Kareem, you're welcome to call in for rebuttal if you need to. Just saying, Brown. Can't make this stuff up. All right, moving forward in my stack O stuff, because I do got a stack O stuff right here. The next one, oh my goodness, it also comes from California. Except this one's going to make you mad. Can't make this stuff up. So I've talked about it on here before that there was a Senate Bill 107 in California that was prepared to be signed into law, and it has been. Storyline dated September 30th, which is what, last Friday? Social media users, it says, this is Reuters. Reuters is taking issue with the fact that not everybody's got their facts straight on this. Except when they give you the facts, it's still really, really bad. So California, Governor Gavin Newsom just signed into law SB 107 last Thursday. SB 107 in California gives courts in that state new authority to take away parental custody of minors who have come from other states to seek what they call gender-affirming care. Now, here's the end result of this. What this means is if you're in a state like Texas or Alabama or a number of other states where they don't allow what liberals want to call gender-affirming care, and what it really is, you know, gender transition, gender changing, sex change operations, sex change medications. If you're in a state like Alabama where we believe that's actually wrong and you shouldn't be, you know, perpetrating that on minors, and a law gets passed, and you know, parents, that you could be in trouble for trying to get that treatment here in Alabama, so you take your child to California. California just became what they call a sanctuary state now for minor transitions. But it's more than that. They're not just a sanctuary state. They will not honor the edicts of other states, which is virtually unheard of. Now, if something happens under a color of state law, then yes, it's not unusual for there to be, you know, something that's relegated to that state's laws. But if a state has issued a decree in, say, a divorce case with a custody battle, and one, like say one parent wants to transition the child, the other one says no, and the court issues an injunction, and the injunction's in place, and the parent who says yes rushes to California, California will not honor that injunction. California will take the side of the child. Or what happens if a child, 15 years old, runs away and says, my mommy and daddy won't let me have a sex change operation? According to what I'm reading here, the courts in California will then take temporary emergency jurisdiction over the child. That's just messed up, folks, in like a variety of levels. That's like hell on earth. That's cacistocracy right there. You can't make this stuff up. I got more. Phil Williams, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Hour number two already. Local, state, national. We cover down on all the issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I got a caller that held on during the break, so I'll honor that and take that call real quick. Line two, Thomas from Athens. Thomas, how you doing, man?
Hey, thank you, Phil. I just wanted to add something about SB 107, the bill that Gavin Newsom signed that you mentioned about gender-affirming state control of your child.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that a child could run away, could be a parent, but it could be a friend. According to analysis I've seen, if you have a friend, the child has a friend that takes the child from Alabama or Texas or wherever to California and delivers that child to the right place and then disappears, the California state takes over the child and the friend just disappears in the woodwork and will never be found out for any kind of kidnapping or anything like that.
Yeah, and
that's scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. Thomas, I think you're exactly right. The write-up that I've got on it says that this in this particular case, a court would take temporary emergency jurisdiction over the child. And basically, they're saying that they would then be able to receive what they call their gender-affirming care, which is just such a crappy name for it.
Regardless of how the child got into the state of California, it does not matter how the child got there.
And my recollection, too, is it's illegal to transport a minor across state lines without knowledge of their legal guardian. Am I correct?
Only if he gets caught.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that. Yeah.
There's that. So the friend just, you know, it's hey, come on, let's go to California.
Wow. It's you can't make this stuff up, can you? I mean, it just...
No, you can't. You can't.
No. Thomas, good call, man. Thanks very much for hanging on the line. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was Thomas from Athens. We got a great audience, and he's. I think he's right. I think that's the analysis, and that has to be addressed. And by the way, there's a word, comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, that typically is in place when you have state laws. One state will, generally speaking, acknowledge the rulings or legal standing from another state. It's an identification with, okay, that happened under your jurisdiction, we understand. In other words, if there is a court decree in place, and I gave the example earlier, if you're in the middle of a custody battle, you've got a liberal parent determined that it wants to help the child to transition, and the other parent saying, no, not my son, no, not my daughter, you're not going to do that. And so the court issues a decree enjoining the liberal parent from doing that, and the liberal parent, knowing full well that they were under the jurisdiction, had availed themselves of the jurisdiction of the court in Alabama, then transports the child to California for the treatment that was prevented in Alabama in violation of the court decree, will be protected in California as opposed to the California court honoring a pre-existing jurisdictional decree. That's just wrong. That is wrong. That's setting yourself up as a sanctuary state on something that violates the conscience of the average citizen. That's you saying, California, we know better. We don't have to know all the facts. We just know better out here. And that's just wrong. Well, this California legislation has been, you know, widely described by supporters and opponents as turning it into a sanctuary state, like I said, like a refuge for minors and their parents who might face legal penalties elsewhere. But critics are saying that it creates a legal haven for minors alone or with that one willing parent to seek care without the other parent having a say. That's just messed up. Well, I'm still in this section of the Triple Dipper. You want to call in and talk? So I'm in the section right now called You Can't Make This Stuff Up. And I am talking under the auspices of the idea that we are in a cacistocracy, y'all. We are neck deep. We are citizens of the cacistocracy. If you don't, cacistocracy. Now that I can finally say it, because the first time when Irene gave me the word, I couldn't say it. It's like cacistocracy.
I'm over here just trying to I'm trying to articulate it over here myself.
Well, I don't want to brag or anything, but I had to practice before I came on the air. I want to go take that risk. Get on the air and go, I can't get it out. Cacistocracy. There it is. But, yeah. All right. Next story in the you can't make this stuff up. All right. So, Biden's doing student loan bailouts. That's a big deal, man. Come on. Come on, man. Fighting corn pop. Gonna fight those student loans. Well, the student loan program is so bloated. Just this morning, I saw a story that a sort of a fake church, almost cultish in some descriptions, that was located in Hinesville, Georgia. And if you're military, you'll know that Hinesville, Georgia is right outside the main gate of Fort Stewart, Georgia, major installation. Oh, by the way, they also had another branch of the same church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Oh, right outside of Fort Bragg. Oh, they also had another one right outside in Augusta, Georgia. Oh, right outside of Fort Gordon. Funny how that works out. Why? Because they were basically forcing people to in the church to give up their VA benefits in a pretend school and scarfing up millions of dollars in VA entitlements and GI Bill and it was sick. Well, it's not just confined to those places, though. Here's another one. You can't make this stuff up. Headline, AL.com, September 29th. That'd be last Thursday. Alabama man created a fake university for student loan fraud and faces 20 years in prison. What? The program, the student loan program is so big, is so bloated, is so filled up with government bureaucracy that a Phoenix City man was one of four people who recently pleaded guilty in an elaborate scheme to defraud the federal student loan program by creating a fake university that enrolled unqualified students and took their financial aid. The defendant stole millions of dollars from the U.S. Department of Education. Millions of dollars. Leo Thomas, 56, of Phoenix City, pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and faces a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. Yes, indeed. The fake university was called the Apex School of Theology. Of course it was. Sounds innocent enough. The Apex School of Theology with the main campus in Durham, North Carolina. And no students and fake classes and millions of dollars later, you can't make this stuff up. Well, while I'm in there, because government's got so much to do right now. I mean, it's hard running a cacistocracy. There's a whole lot to do. I mean, when you got a cacistocracy, you got to be, you know, on your toes. Cacistocracy needs work. Like Daily Caller, dated September 29th, last Friday or Thursday. The Biden administration names its new White House chief of staff's wife as the ambassador for plants and animals. Oh, God. I can't. I just can't. The Biden administration announced on Wednesday it's appointing the wife of White House chief of staff Ronald Klain to be a special diplomat overseeing international animal and plant habitats. Well, there you go. The State Department appointed Monica Medina, whose last name is not Klain like her husband. Anyway, the State Department appointed Monica Medina as the first ever. There's a reason why it's the first ever, by the way, because we don't need it. As the first ever U.S. Special Envoy for Biodiversity and Water Resources to solve the world's intertwined biodiversity and water crises, according to a department. I don't even know what that means. Klain's wife will adopt an all-of-government effort to represent the interests of plants and animals abroad because the administration believes that such species are currently threatened by the climate crisis. You can't make that crap up. Cacistocracy, I'm just saying. We've already told you about this when this is yesterday's show. Yesterday's show, we talked about the fact that the Biden administration is going to fence $5 billion, billion, with a B, Bob, above a billion dollars for electric vehicle chargers over the next 5 years. Electric vehicle chargers that will be placed along interstate routes. So basically, they'll pick and choose who's allowed to get the grants to emplace the $5 billion worth of charging stations. But if you're off the interstate, according to the guys who were here with us yesterday, it could cost you almost $250,000 to install one at some other place in town. I'm just saying. I look at the deaths from fentanyl. Can't make this stuff up. More than 100,000 Americans died from drug overdoses in the last 12 months. Nearly two-thirds of those were linked to fentanyl. Can you imagine? 100,000 deaths, almost two-thirds of them linked to fentanyl. Story on Breitbart. dated last Thursday. House Democrats block a crackdown on fentanyl as over 100,000 Americans die every year from overdoses and poisonings. This week, 220 House Democrats blocked consideration for Representative Michelle Fischbach's Halt All Legal Trafficking of Fentanyl Act to permanently classify fentanyl-related substances as Schedule I on the Controlled Substances Act. In April, they also blocked consideration of similar legislation. How do you find a more, I hate to use their word, existential crisis? But there you go. And so House Democrats have now blocked an effort to put fentanyl, which has killed 70,000-plus people in America in the last year, on the Class 1 schedule for criminal prosecution. Do I want to get these last two? I guess I will. Can't make this stuff up. Cacistocracy. RedState.com reports the Army's first transgender officer has now been indicted for attempting to pass medical information to the Russians. Oh, my gosh. Story from Red State, dated September 29th. Again, that'd be last Thursday. It was a big day last Thursday for Can't Make This Stuff Up. A grand jury came to the conclusion that Jamie Lee Henry, who was a major in the Army and a transgender, and his wife... And his wife? Okay, by the way, Jamie Lee Henry is portraying himself as a female, but he still has a wife. And the article even says, confused yet? Yes, I am. Anyway, committed conspiracy and illegally disclosed individually identifiable health information on patients because he's a medical officer, and was indicted on espionage charges. That's happening right now. You hear much about that in the news? No. And then the last one, because it was, you know, saving one of the best for last. AOC, in all of her word salad and skull full of mush kind of stuff, in the cacistocracy that she helps run, Thursday tweeted the video of herself explaining why abortion is actually a class issue and a class struggle. She says, you know, I think it's important to state that abortion is an economic issue, forcing poor and working class people to give birth against their will, against their consent, against their ability to provide for themselves or a child is a profound economic issue. All right, that's enough of that. I can't even read her whole quote because I don't want to. You can't make this stuff up. Folks, cacistocracy, I hope you've learned a new word. I hope you win a Scrabble game with it. I hope we get out of it sometime soon. My sincere hope is that come the midterms, we begin moving the cacistocracy to the annals of history and begin, you know, regaining control of our government. In the meantime, we got to take a break. Boomer, move us to the break, my brother. We'll do it right now. We'll come right back. I'm moving on. I got to get out of the cacistocracy. Sort of. I'm going into the number two, legal snowflakes. This is going to be good. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.